What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my two friends, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We're three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, we have to start the show today with the biggest news of the day, and that's the reports from yesterday were confirmed because Melvin Gordon showed up to the team facility on Thursday and is fully back on with this club. So we're going to start with that because that's obviously the biggest news of the day. And then the second segment is a segment that I really love and I'm really excited to do because we've seen so many fans talking about how many wins would the Chargers have if they had Melvin Gordon and how important Melvin Gordon is to this team. So with the rest of the guys that are injured, Derwin James, Russell Okung, Michael Davis, we're going to be ranking how important those guys are to the team, including Michael Badgley as well. So in the second segment, we'll be giving you guys our lists and then also telling you where Melvin Gordon would fit into that list as well before we wrap the show up with our game predictions and our bold predictions. So let's go ahead and get into it, boys. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer. The news of the day is that Melvin Gordon has officially returned to the Chargers. On Instagram Live on Thursday morning, Keenan Allen posted a video of him watching Melvin Gordon come into the locker room for the first time this season. He seemed very excited about it, and Charger fans should be excited to get their star running back into the fold again. So the reports were true after all of the rumors coming out saying it would be week 10 and then all of the other reports that we have out there. Melvin Gordon's holdout ends at 64 days. So David, the cost of the holdout was this. Adam Schefter reported that Melvin Gordon will be subject to $1.2 million worth of fines while losing out on $989,118 worth of base salary for the first three games and also those preseason games that he missed where he missed those game checks as well. Gordon will now earn $4,615,882 of base salary, assuming he's here for the rest of the season, and he will also be a free agent with plans to move on. So, David, at the end of this holdout, we said it was a misguided holdout from the beginning, but all in all, Melvin Gordon lost a ton of money, and it does not look like a very smart choice to miss out on that kind of money while still playing 12 games of the regular season. He probably wouldn't have played in the preseason anyways, with the Chargers electing to sit most of their key starters, and he was one of them going into it. And now he just misses that money and still has to put his knees and his body on the line for 12 more games this year.
You ask yourself, did this holdout result in the desired effect? And I'd have to say no, because obviously he was trying to get a new contract and that did not work. I think he absolutely was receiving bad advice. And I think he sees this as an opportunity now that the Chargers have gone 1-2 that, hey, I can come back. I can play really well, and hopefully I can earn money for my next contract with a different team. So I didn't agree with his holdout to begin with, and I still don't agree with it now. The only thing you can say is that Melvin Gordon did stick with his convictions. He believed that he was worth more money. He sat out to get that money, but he did not get it.
He didn't, and I think it's fair to question how much money he's going to get on the open market next year, assuming he stays healthy, which is a huge if because he hasn't been able to stay healthy. Always some kind of injury and ending up on injured reserve, which is never something another team wants to invest a lot of money in, especially at that position. I don't think he'll get anywhere near the $14 million trying to get the Le'Veon Bell and Ezekiel Elliott money. I would wonder if he's going to make as much as the Chargers' final offer was, you know, somewhere around 10, 11 million. I'm wondering if he gets that next year on the open market. But now that he's back, it's time to talk about what this means to the Chargers and how do you think the Chargers are going to use Melvin Gordon with the success of Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson. So, David, do you think that the Chargers are going to plan on easing him in when he comes back in week 5? Do you think he'll be on some sort of a snap count to not necessarily use him too much? And then another question would be, a month from now when he's fully back in the mix and fully up to game shape, what do you think his role is going to be?
So first of all, are they going to work him back in? I would say yes. I don't think they're just going to throw him into the fire after missing all of training camp and not playing in the preseason, not playing at all in the regular season. You can practice all you want with the helmet and go through drills all you want, but you're not getting hit. They definitely have to take things easy with Melvin to start. You know, maybe 10, 15 rushing attempts just to get things started, get his feet wet, get hit a couple times, get reacclimated to the NFL game. And then in a month from now, I would expect him to be the feature back again. I just, you know, he's been that, you know, throughout his tenure with the Chargers, and I think that that's going to continue. I think he's going to get the bulk of the carries. I still think Austin Ekeler and Justin Jackson should stay involved because they've shown to be productive, but I think he's going to go back to his starter role. That's just what I'm feeling.
Well, Austin Ekeler has the most all-purpose yards of any running back in the NFL right now. He's tied for third in touchdowns. So he has been super productive. Justin Jackson is still averaging almost 8 yards a carry. So I disagree with the statement that he will go back to being the workhorse role. I think he will end up getting the lion's share of the carries. I think he will have the most, but I think the days of Melvin Gordon dominating this team in touches are over. With what you've seen from the other two running backs, there's no way you can think the best way to win is to just feed Melvin Gordon 25 times unless he's having some sort of ridiculous day. I think this has to be a feed the hot hand kind of offense, and you have to see which running back works in whatever situation and in whichever game that you're playing. In my opinion, I think Melvin Gordon's time of having 70% of the touches among the running backs is over. Those days are gone now, and the Chargers are planning for the future, and so is Melvin Gordon. But we do have two more segments to get into, especially my favorite segment that I've come up with this season, ranking the injured players of the Chargers and how important they would be to this team and how much this team has missed those guys so far, coming up in the next segment. But first, I need to tell you guys that if you are betting on football this season, you better be doing it with MyBookie. Game-winning touchdowns on two-minute drives, running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them. There's nothing else like the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. Do the smart thing, guys, and go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. And the best part is MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sportsbook, because when you win, you want to get your money and you want it quickly. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet on football, bet with MyBookie. You're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot. Try a parlay. That's what John did, and he won some money with MyBookie. Bet on a few teams, bet a little, win a lot, and join now, and MyBookie will actually double your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word. You put in $100, they will match that $100, and you can be betting on games this weekend. When you visit mybookie.ag today, you play, you win, you get paid. All right, guys, let's go ahead and get into the next segment discussing how important the players the Chargers are missing offensively and defensively are. There's a list of 7 guys that we're going to be mainly talking about on this list. So I'm going to go to each of you and ask what the importance is of each of these players and where you would rank them on your list. But the guys that we're talking about are obviously the big names: Russell Okung, Derwin James, Michael Davis, Hunter Henry, Adrian Phillips, and then also Michael Badgley and Trevor Williams as well. Maybe two names you wouldn't think about on this list, but two very important players in the past nonetheless. Let's go ahead and get into our list, guys. David, your first 1 through 7. How important do you think these players are to this Chargers team that are injured right now?
Yeah, so I struggled a little bit at the top. I think after the first two guys, it's pretty much a similar list across the board. But the first guy I put on my list is Russell Okung. I think the most important person on the team is Phillip Rivers. And obviously the most important thing to do is to protect Phillip Rivers. So obviously that's Russell Okung, number one. Number two, the captain of the defense, the all-pro safety, that's got to be Derwin James. I mean, his impact is felt all over the football field. He's just all over the place. He's an amazing player, and the Chargers are absolutely missing him. Hunter Henry, number three. Hunter Henry's that security blanket, that guy. We've mentioned on several occasions, when he gets 4 or 5 targets in the game, the Chargers win most of the time. Number four, I'm going to go Michael Davis. Number five, it's going to be the Money Badger, Michael Badgley. Number six is going to be Adrian Phillips. And then coming up the rear is going to be Trevor Williams.
Yeah, I think there's an argument at the top for either Russell Okung or Derwin James. I don't think there's anyone else that would creep into the conversation of the top two, but it's interesting to see you come up with Michael Badgley as more important than Adrian Phillips. I think that's something that you could argue. I mean, I think it looks different because you obviously lost the game in which Ty Long missed two field goals and you lose the game by 3 points, and you could have won the game by 3 points if Michael Badgley was in there potentially. But all in all, Ty Long ends up hitting, being perfect in two of the three games, which Michael Badgley might have been perfect in all three. But I think that's a definite conversation there. And then I think Trevor Williams, to end the list, I think probably all of us will have him ranked seven on this list. But let's find out. John, where are you going with your top seven of the guys that are injured right now and their importance to the Chargers?
Well, I was kind of similar at the top with David. I went Russell Okung first. We got to have the offensive line. If you don't have the offensive line, the ball is not going to move up and down the field. And then I put Derwin James second. I think without him running all over the field, running like a cheetah, hitting like a ram, and making all the big plays, it's also affecting our team because we got to rely on two guys, Rayshon Jenkins and whoever ends up playing with the injuries, whether it be Adrian Phillips, whatever, whoever plays, everyone's hurt. You have to rely on two guys. Derwin James was one guy, and he did it all for both positions. Hunter Henry definitely has to be number three. Him catching the ball on third downs and being Phillip Rivers' little security blanket. If it wasn't Mike Williams or Keenan Allen, it was Hunter Henry. Now, without that, it's Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, throw the ball away, get sacked. After that, I went Michael Davis at four because Brandon Faison is killing us. He's giving up a lot of third downs, a lot of big plays. He's what keeps teams on the field. If Michael Davis was in, that probably goes down a lot. I put Adrian Phillips at five because I believe the defense is what needs to be making these plays. If Derwin James isn't going to play, Adrian Phillips needs to play. If Derwin does play, Adrian Phillips still needs to be on the field with his role that he played with that dime linebacker type of position. The defense is what this team is lately. Most teams have been winning the Super Bowl with a good defense, with a few of those really big offensive Super Bowls like the Eagles and Patriots, but it's been pretty defensively the past like 8-7 years. And then I went Michael Badgley at six. And the reason why I put him at six compared to David's five is even though Ty Long lost the game against the Lions with two missed field goals, we also had two touchdowns called back on the same drive due to penalties. And Trent Scott was one of those penalties, and Russell Okung could have prevented that. So without that penalty, we still win the game, even with those missed field goals. If Michael Badgley plays and makes those field goals, the touchdowns are the bait. But Ty Long missing those field goals, I don't think is the complete loss in the game. It's the penalties. And Trevor Williams, I don't even think is a factor, really. He hasn't played in 2 years, so I put him at seven.
It's hard to know what Trevor Williams would be. And this list is obviously these guys at full health. And Trevor Williams hasn't been healthy for two seasons. We don't know what that's taken out of him. But when he was healthy, he was a factor on this list. And he might come in. He would definitely come in before Michael Davis. Imagine what we thought of Michael Davis in those days when Trevor Williams took the starting job away that season from Jason Verrett when he got injured. It would be a totally different list. But we're talking about this in terms of now. So I'm glad that you guys both went different than me for my number one pick, so I can just pour the praise on Derwin James, because on my list, Derwin James comes in at number one. I think if Russell Okung's in there, there's a chance that the Chargers win their first three games. With Derwin James in there, I think the Chargers would have won their first three games. So that's why he comes in at number one on my list. And another reason is because the offensive line is really bad outside of Russell Okung as well, and he's just one of the five pieces. Yes, he's your best offensive lineman, but I think when you're splitting hairs between the top two on this list, Derwin James comes in at number one for me just because of how good he is defensively and how many hats he wears for this defense. It's not as if Derwin James just helps your run defense. It's not as if Derwin James just helps your pass defense. With Derwin James, you get a player that's going to help you at all three levels of your defense. I mean, he probably would have had a sack by now too. So you add pass rushing in for a team that hasn't been able to get after the passer. Do we all forget how much we love seeing Derwin James come off the edge? He looks unblockable when he does it. It's ridiculous. Derwin James, number one on this list for me. Russell Okung comes in at number two. Obviously, we've already talked about all of the reasons why you need a left tackle, and number one is Trent Scott. Hunter Henry comes in at number three for me. I think for me, Hunter Henry is just so important for this offense. And I think you've seen with Keenan Allen just having monstrous games how much they've actually missed Hunter Henry, because it's been pretty much just Keenan Allen and running backs in the passing game so far this season. And it would have been different if you have Hunter Henry, who went 4 for 60 in the first game. And you also won that game with a productive game from Hunter Henry, who ended up getting a block on the game-winning touchdown and also a reception on the game-winning drive. And then I have Michael Davis. And when we're talking about Hunter Henry and Michael Davis, it's important to think about who's behind them and how much of a difference you have between what those guys are at the top end and who their replacements are. The difference between Hunter Henry and Virgil Green is monumental. The difference between Michael Davis and Brandon Faison is also very large as well. So I think that's what comes in right there. And then Adrian Phillips, I also have at 5 before Michael Badgley, even though I love Michael Badgley. He comes in at 6. I think that even if he goes perfect over the first 3 games, I mean, I think it just changes the game a lot against the Lions. I don't know if you can automatically write that game off as a win if he makes both of those field goals, but Michael Badgley is hugely important to this team, and I think he really even makes a difference on the Chargers, you know, throwing the last interception in that second game. I know Phillip Rivers did not trust Ty Long to go out there and try to kick a field goal, so he threw it up in the end zone and it gets intercepted. I think that really influenced that game a lot, and from that perspective at least. So Michael Badgley comes in at 6. Trevor Williams comes in at 7. So there's our list right there. I think we all had pretty similar lists with a couple of changes here and there, but obviously this all ties back in with Melvin Gordon and if the Chargers would be 3-0 with Melvin Gordon on their team. And I don't think any of us believe that. But that being said, if you were putting Melvin Gordon on this list, John, where does he slide into that those 7 guys?
He slides in at number 5 for me. Okun is the offensive line. If you have to have offensive line, if with Melvin Gordon, he needs offensive line to run. So Okun will always be over Melvin. Derwin is the leader of the defense. Henry makes the third down conversion plays that we need. Melvin doesn't always do that. And Michael Davis needs to take Brandon Faison out of the game. After that, it's Melvin Gordon for me. I think Melvin, if he has his offensive line, if Okun is in the game, he's not on this list. So I think that means Melvin gets his offensive line and he can run the ball better. If you put Melvin number 1 on this list and put him in there with Trent Scott, Sam Tivy, and all those guys, Melvin Gordon can break a 40-yard run and it'll get called back for holding. I think those holding calls decrease with Okun in the game, which is the difference I make right there. I know some people might want to argue that Melvin Gordon will make big plays even with this offensive line, but how many of them will count?
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you there on that. I don't think that that's crazy to put him at 5 on this list with how important those other guys are and how big of a drop-off it is at those positions. David, where are you sliding MG3 into this list if you have to?
Well, surprisingly enough, I actually agree with John. I mean, I know you guys all think I love Melvin Gordon, which I do. I mean, I'm not going to lie. But I do agree with John. I do have him slotted at 5, Okung at number 1 again, Derwin James number 2, Hunter Henry number 3, Michael Davis number 4, because of Brandon Faison as well, because he's just awful. The running game has actually performed very well without Melvin Gordon besides the red zone, but that's why I slot him in at number 5 and then, you know, go Money Badger, Adrian Phillips, and of course, Trevor Williams at the end.
Well, God, I don't want to go the same as you guys. I think I have him at 5 as well, and I think there's an argument to be made that he could be behind Adrian Phillips on my list. I think there's a potential that Melvin Gordon, on a list of what would be 8 guys if we added Melvin Gordon, could come in at number 6. And I think it just goes to what I said before. I mean, the difference between Melvin Gordon and Austin Ekeler and Justin Jackson is nowhere near the difference between Adrian Phillips and Jalen Watkins. It's just not even comparable in my mind, or even Roderick Teamer. You saw how important that role was that Adrian Phillips played in the first game that you didn't have him. So I think that he might come in at number 6 on my list, guys, and I don't think that's a slight to Melvin Gordon. I think it's team-specific, and when this team is running the ball better than they were last year at this point in the season, it's hard not to look at those guys and be like, you know, we need some of those other guys more than we need Melvin Gordon. And I know a lot of fans might disagree with that because Melvin Gordon's the big name. He's the guy that puts up the numbers and the touchdowns. And I think that I'm going to put him at number 5. And I have a specific stat as to why I would put him at number 5, because the Chargers have been so bad this season. Melvin Gordon was averaging over 6.5 yards per carry last year in the fourth quarter. That's where you miss Melvin Gordon. You haven't had that this year. And whether that's coaching or whatever, averaging 6.5 yards in the fourth quarter is ridiculous. And that's the type of number that puts teams away. So I'm going to flip flop. I'm going to put him back at 5 because I think they do miss him in the second half of games, because he's always been a guy that kind of works into a rhythm, into a game, and really can explode in the second half. So that is going to wrap things up for this list. I really love that, guys. I think we had some good conversation there, and I think a lot of these numbers are up for grabs. And if you guys want to tell us how you would rank that list, make sure to hit us up on Twitter or at 323-524-7924 on the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. But we do have one more segment to get into, talking about our bold predictions, our game predictions, and John Kegley's all-time series notes coming up right after this. And when we have a segment like that, I just get so excited, and it reminds me of having Blue Chew. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com is the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since it's chewable, it works up to twice as fast as the pill. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Right now, we have a special deal for our listeners. You can get Blue Chew for free right now when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. All you have to do is go to BlueChew.com and pay $5 in shipping. The product is free. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. All right, guys, it's time to get into the final segment of the week, talking about our game and bold predictions for this game. But first, as always, we start with John Kegley giving us our breakdown of the all-time series for this one, the Chargers versus the Dolphins. So, John, I know it's a little depressing, but go ahead and lay it on us.
I would love to. I would love to make everybody depressed.
Perfect.
Well, of course, as the Chargers do with most teams, the Chargers trail this all-time series 18-15. But at one point, the Chargers did have a lead in this series. Believe it or not, they had a lead, but it's crumbled due to the Chargers not winning in Miami since 1981, the miracle in Miami, which was voted number one Chargers moment in Chargers history in the Texans game to celebrate the Chargers' 60th year being in the league. Is it ironic that we're playing in Miami after that got voted? I mean, coincidence? I think not. But there's so many games on this list that we should have won, and we didn't. For example, Jay Cutler being the quarterback of the Dolphins.
Ugh, Young Waku.
Yes, missing the field goal at the end. Oh, my God. Like, we had that win. Antonio Gates broke the all-time touchdown record for tight ends in that game, and we lose because of Young Waku against Jay Cutler.
And that's another game where nobody thought the Chargers were going to lose that game. I remember that game like it was yesterday.
Yep, and then there's also the game when we came back from trailing against the Dolphins back in 2016, and Rivers ties the game by throwing a ball to Tyrell Williams for a long touchdown. Chargers get the ball back. They're driving, maybe getting close to field goal range, and then pick six by Kiko Alonso. Chargers lose the game. My personal favorite Charger-Dolphin game that we actually won, but it was in San Diego, which it was supposed to be the last game in San Diego. Seeing Phillip Rivers, Antonio Gates, Malcolm Floyd walk off the field in the game, but Danny Woodhead, 4 touchdowns, and 3-14 win. But the game before that, Wade, you're going to love this one. 37-0 loss, and we had one good drive, and it was a 4th and inches that we could not convert on our opening drive that gave away our only points. And there's also the game before that, losing 20-16 in Miami, because we threw a jump ball in the last play to Vincent Brown, and he didn't get it. Just games like that just make the Chargers lose these games in Miami. There's even LT being stopped at the 1-inch yard line on 4th and goal when the Dolphins just came out with the Wildcat. The Chargers lose in Miami no matter what, how close, how much they're favored by. It's a scary thing.
It's a slaughterhouse. And I remember that 37-0 game most vividly because that 4th and inches was only brought on because Phillip Rivers tried to run for it and actually slid before the first down, which ended up making them go for it, not get it, and then the rest of the game was just a total wreck. But just so many bad games I don't want to think about with this game. But Danny Woodhead, that I was at that 4-touchdown game as well, and that was a moment that was really surreal because the environment of that game, the feeling around that stadium was something I'll never forget. But that being said, we're going a little long, so let's go ahead and blaze through these bold predictions here and start on the defensive side of the ball. David, defensive bold prediction, what do you have?
So my defensive bold prediction is that the Chargers are going to make Josh Rosen look like Nathan Peterman. And what I mean by that is they are going to pick him off 5 times in this game.
Those are numbers that only Nathan Peterman can put up. So that's a bold prediction on your part. But hey, if it's Nathan Peterman, it has to all be in the first half. So anyways, at least Tyrod Taylor can't come back in and try to save them because he's on the Chargers now. John, where are you going with your defensive bold prediction?
Well, I'm going to go bolder than both of you. I'm going to say we hold the Dolphins to negative yards in the first half.
Wow. That's optimism from you. I don't see it happening necessarily. I don't think you see it happening. We'll talk about that more later. But defensively, I'm going the Chargers defense as a whole. I'm going to say they have 6 sacks in this game. I think they get back on track in the pass rushing game. Also get 2 interceptions, which usually come with those sacks, and take one of them back to the house and put some points on the board for the first time as a defense this season. So let's flip over to the offensive side of the ball. John, what ridiculous offensive bold prediction do you have this week?
Oh, you know, Forrest Lamp, Philly special to Phillip Rivers, the usual. I'm going to go with Keenan Allen is going to tie the Chargers' all-time touchdown record for receiving touchdowns in a game. With 5 touchdowns in this game.
You don't believe that, and I don't believe that. But he's not going to one-up Danny Woodhead and get 5. I just don't believe it. And he's not going to tie the great Kellen Winslow, as he told me, who owns that record. David, where are you going offensively for your bold prediction this week?
First of all, I love that bold prediction by John. But my offensive bold prediction is going to be centered around the running game. The Dolphins are giving up over 200 yards rushing per game, and they're going to do it again in this one. And they're going to give up over 250 yards rushing in between Justin Jackson and Austin Eckler, $125 apiece.
Wow. I mean, hey, they almost gave that up last week to Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard. So crazier things have happened, and it would be a nice game for both of those guys just to go off right before Melvin Gordon comes back into the fold. That would be kind of hilarious if they just, I mean, looked like 2 of the best running backs in the league this week. I'm going offensively for my bold prediction. I'm going to go with kind of an unsung hero game from Dontrell Inman. We've heard what the game plan is probably going to be for the Miami defense trying to take away Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. But I think a guy like Dontrell Inman is going to get a lot of favorable matchups. He's probably going to be lining up with the worst defense in the league's 3rd or 4th best corners in this game, or linebackers. So I think Dontrell Inman can have a big one. I'm going to say 4 for 85 and a touchdown for Dontrell Inman in this game. It might not sound crazy bold, but for a guy like Dontrell Inman, I mean, that's one of the better games of his career if he's able to put that together. So that wraps that part of the segment up, but let's go ahead and just refresh everybody on your guys' predictions. David, I'll start with you. What did you predict on the crossover Wednesday edition of Locked On Chargers when you picked this game?
So yeah, I'll keep it pretty short and sweet since we've already done the predictions this week. I think the Chargers are going to get back on track on this one. They're going to win fairly convincingly 30-17.
30-17, yeah, I remember because Travis Wingfield said, how is that going to happen? They haven't scored more than 10 points all season long. John, what did you say for your prediction? I know it conflicts with your 5 touchdowns from Keenan Allen.
Well, that's why that's a bold prediction.
Hey, you brought that on me before. I'm bringing it back around.
I know. I'm using the same excuse you did. I'm just trying to be Daniel Wade for a day.
Yeah.
I'm just a lot skinnier version. But with the record the Chargers have in Miami and with the Chargers charging a lot the past 3 weeks, I don't have much faith in this game. I think we lose this game 17-13.
And I think if they were to somehow lose this game, which in no ways should they, because I've already said before that I think if the Chargers lose this game, it's going to be one of, if not the worst loss in their franchise history, given the expectations and how bad this Dolphins team has been. I think it's worse than the Browns when that was their only win in 2 seasons. That's how bad I think this Miami Dolphins team is. But I think if they were to lose, it would be a game like that. You know, just an absolute slot fest, 17-13. That sounds about right to me. I'm going to be a little bit more optimistic on this game. I think the Chargers do find a way to pull it off. I don't think they'll sniff the 44 points the Dolphins have allowed on average so far this season. I think the Chargers have some mistakes in this game, but find a way to get away with them 27 to 10 in this game, 17 points. I think that's right around where the spread is right now for this game, which is just another story because that's a ridiculous spread for any game. But I think the Chargers pull it out 27 to 10 and get back on track this week. I'll be looking more into what the Chargers are able to do, win or lose, and hopefully some positive trends going forward because there's a lot of things they need to get on track in this game.
My birthday is on Monday, so they better get this win.
Yeah, all we can hope for is a Victory Monday show. God, feels like so long. I remember last year, every week is a Victory Monday almost. Well, no, this season it's been not.
Well, David, win or lose, you are going to booze.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. All facts. All right, well, that is going to wrap things up for the week, guys. Hopefully we'll see you back here on Monday to be talking about the Chargers absolutely destroying the Dolphins, but it's the Chargers, so don't hold your breath. Until next time, guys, make sure to go follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there and probably get it before everybody else does as well. So if you guys want to give us your list of the seven injured players on the Chargers right now and how important they are to this team and maybe where Melvin Gordon stacks up on that list, make sure to call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line at 323-524-7924. Hopefully we get a couple of voicemails. We can do a voicemail show next week for you guys and get your voices on the show. But that is it for the week, guys. Until next week, take it easy and go Bolts.